Okay, do you guys want to come and grab your seats? If you've stepped outside, come back in. It's a bit of a confetti mess around here at the front. If you have any party poppers, like, feel free at kind of any point. Like, if you're feeling, this feels like a really good moment in the talk, just let it off. Like, scare the person near you. There's a few spares just lying around. It would be encouraging. I think I might be sweeping up. Right. So, today is our first week. We're doing 2 weeks. That was encouraging. Thank you for that. This is a fun day. Today is the first week in our two-week vision series. And like every now and again, it's really helpful, isn't it, just to take stock of where we are as a church, who we are, to look back at what the Lord has done and all he's done through this church, what he's doing through all of us in his church family, and to also to look ahead to what he's calling us into next. And as a team, we felt that God's been speaking to us through a passage which many of you may know. It's Isaiah 54, which is a text that lots of us, we come back to time and time again because of the strength of the language. It's going to appear on the screen above me, but it says, "Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes." Now, that's not about camping. It's something else, but this section is beautiful because the previous chapter, 53, it overflows with prophecies about Jesus. It says, "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." And then chapter 55, if we go forward, is full of glorious kingdom invitation. It says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." What a section of scripture, because on one side you've got this beautiful prophetic picture of Jesus, and then on the flip side you've got this invitation from God to all people, and then sandwiched in the middle you have a call to the people of God to extend the kingdom, the rule and the reign of God. And James is going to look at this verse more next week, and he's going to look at how he feels the Lord is calling us in this next season as a church. But throughout Scripture, you'll see a pattern of looking back before we move into what's next. So let's remind ourselves of who God is and what he's done. And on that, let us build our faith and our confidence in him and what he is yet to do. This is biblical remembrance is a forward-focused activity. So today I'm spending a bit of time just looking back and celebrating what God has done through our community of the last year, looking at where we are now, where we've been, and our trajectory as a site. I'm going to be sharing lots of stories from across this last year. But whilst I do this, I want to be crystal clear on one thing. Jesus deserves the worship and the glory and the praise. This is all him. This isn't, you know, kind of us working hard and you guys doing incredible things. You are, and we are, but that's not it. These are stories of his greatness and his glory. We want to stop as a family, as a site, as a church in this moment and celebrate together, not to say, look at us, but to say, look at him. Fix your eyes on him. And with this in mind, we want to highlight, perhaps like potted highlights or a snapshot of like just a few things that we've done as a church over this last year. And I'm going to run through these. And some of these you were at and some of them you heard of and some of them that you're hearing of for the first time because this might be your first week. And what a week to have as your first week. We don't have this kind of mess every week, sorry. We could do, that'd be fun. So let's go for it. A year ago, we held our Kingdom Pursuit Conference with Steve Nicholson and Simon Guillebeau. Then we had our Young Adults and Students Weekend Away in March, which over 70 young people attended. Then we did Love Where You Live as a Church with projects across the city that blessed our communities. Then we did Easter services, Good Friday reflection walks through the gate, whole church Easter egg hunt. Then in the summer, over 50 of our young people, our teenagers, went to DTI in the summer. And then the team took 40 of our youth on a weekend away in November. 125 ladies attended the women's retreat with Sharon Garlow Brown in September. Then we did 24 hours of prayer and worship with Exulting. Then we all came together as Foresights at Glenwood Church. We had hot dogs and ice cream and the sprinkles on top. Do you remember the sprinkles? We had sprinkles, they were good. Did carol services. 700 people came through the doors for our carol services. And as well as that, we've had newcomers events, neighbourhood breakfasts, international lunches, winter warmers, beach baptisms, small groups, you name it, we've pretty much done it. And we see in the Bible so many instances of numbers not just playing a part, but as a way of celebrating what God is doing in a season, like in a place, in a time. And so in this place and in this time, we have some numbers for you as well. For those of you who love a number, here you go. In 2023, as best we know, between 120 and 130 people gave their lives to Jesus in and through this church. Yeah. This is a party popper moment. If you've got more party poppers, now is your... Hey, thank you. You want to keep them handy. So good. We need these every week. Yeah, wouldn't that be fun? Not if you have like a weak heart, but yes. In 2023, we held several baptisms across our sites. In the summer, North held a baptism service at Porthcawl Beach, and we held one at Barry Island. Central have held some in the Gate, and our young adults and students baptised more on their weekend away. And two of the youth were baptised at their midweek celebration. So in 2023, we as a church, as best we know, baptised 27 people. Which is amazing. It's another party popper moment. We are a growing church. It's always slightly delayed, isn't it? We are a growing church, and our sites are all incredibly healthy and fun. And baptisms are an indicator of health. And small groups are an indicator of health. We've got over 50 small groups that meet around the city, the Vale, south of Wales. Got people attending on a Sunday. We've got stories that tell of God's kingdom breaking in. In 2023, we as a church, as best as we can work out with our best sums, we grew by roughly 24%. It's pretty good. And it's just one indicator of how Jesus is building his church here in South Wales and inviting us to play our part. But behind every number that we've mentioned is a story. And every story is a story of a life surrendered to Jesus. People walking through our doors and calling this church home. People finding salvation. People being baptized. People finding their place. People settling in. People living freshly surrendered lives to Jesus and stepping into the story of what God is doing in this city, in South Wales, in this nation. And we want to share some stories through the lens of our values. And this is a snapshot of how we're stepping into these values, what these values mean to us and for us, and how they're lived out. And in the last year, our language has changed slightly to bring more clarity to who we feel God is calling us to be as a people. So, our values are that we are captivated and compelled by Jesus. We're empowered by the Spirit and built on the Word to be a grace-filled community of kingdom carriers and shameless worshippers who are courageously compassionate and outrageously generous. So firstly, we're called to be a grace-filled community. The grace and forgiveness that God shows us means that we welcome anyone. Everyone is welcome here. We forgive quickly and we love extravagantly and we're kind to each other. Matt is one of our associate pastors, and he was in a kids group over in Central, and he was serving on the kids team, and this is what he said. He said, I was serving on the kids team, and it was the first morning for the children who were coming up from the mini kids and joining big kids. It was a big week for them as they were starting reception year at school as well. During the morning, the two groups who run in separate spaces are brought together to join the worship band for a time to sing and get loud. The band were in great form that morning, lots of energy in the room. I guess that means they were rowdy. Both the kids and the grown-ups were joyously worshipping Jesus. When the new smaller children had come into the room, some of them had looked a little apprehensive and they were unsure as to what was going on. You could see that they were a bit tentative, and when the music started, some of them immediately engaged with the worship. But there were some others who were more circumspect, and one particular child looked a bit startled. Before myself, this is Matt, or another team member could get to him, one of the older children who was on the opposite side of the room, strode across the room to comfort him. She was wearing some of the ear defenders that are always available to the kids if they want them. And she took off the pair that she was wearing and she gave them to the younger boy. And she helped him put those on and stayed with him as the song continued, making sure he was okay. He visibly relaxed and you could see he felt safe and at home with her alongside him. It's a beautiful moment of our young people looking after each other with kindness as a community. It starts with our kids. So firstly, we're called to be a grace-filled community. Secondly, we're called to be kingdom carriers. We invite people in, but we also go out. So in the Great Commission, notice what Jesus says. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The King gives us his authority to extend his kingdom. He tells us to go. So this year in the North Site, they've started something called Street Cafe. And the team have had some amazing conversations. They've prayed for people, they've shared the gospel, they've invited people to an Alpha course, they've invited people to church, they've prayed for healings. They've talked to people about their doubts, about their questions, and they've led people to faith. It's been amazing to see their growing passion for evangelism. People taking Jesus' command to go very literally and actually going. And they've gone just around the corner from church and they're carrying the kingdom into the local area. In our mini kids ministry, which is the preschool group, one of the parents shared this about their daughter. It was one of her first Sundays in Vineyard Kids and they'd been chatting about praying and healing. When my foot was hurting the following week, she was really keen to pray for it. And I was really encouraged because she hadn't been as keen before, but going into the mini kids environment had clearly really encouraged her and made an impact. Love that. Like our kids, they get what it means to be a kingdom carrier and our kids are doing the stuff. There's a person in our site who shared this story with us about praying for his colleague at work. He said, I walked out of my office and one of my colleagues was just arriving saying she'd bought heat pads to work because she was in severe pain with her back and down her legs. She wasn't looking forward to spending the day in pain. Before I had a chance to think, the words came out, well, I could pray for you. Sometimes God heals people when I pray. Cue some raised eyebrows in the room. She said yes. And so I got to put my hand on her back and I asked if it was okay to put a hand on her shoulder. I then prayed a really short prayer, no more than a couple of sentences, and I asked if there was any change. She said she felt a bit weird and she asked if it was working. And I said it could be, so let's pray again. And after another short prayer, she said that the pain in her back and her leg had gone away. And I let her know that it was Jesus that had healed her. And we said a really quick thank you prayer. She was amazed. When she was about to go home, I checked how she was feeling. She was great, no pain. She didn't use the heat pads. I checked a couple of days later too, and the healing had stayed, hadn't left. Praise God. Another party popper moment. Yeah. We don't have enough party poppers. Thirdly, we want to be a community of shameless worshippers. We've said this already, that this is about him. To him be the glory, right? When we see him, when we meet him, how can we do anything but worship? Like it's in our DNA, it's who we are. This happened at DTI in the summer, particularly a lot of our younger youth. We took, we took 50, and they were absolutely flat out going for it in worship, pouring their hearts out in a proper demonstration of shameless worship. You've heard me talk before that there was a time for about 10 minutes where the band had left the stage and about 3,500 youth continued to worship over and over and over again. They did not stop. They didn't need a band. They didn't need the words on the screen. They didn't need encouragement. They weren't told to do it. They just did it. And so because of this in youth as well, the youth band continues to grow. And they recently led worship at the youth weekend away, as well as in the midweek service, the service which we do in the gate for the youth. We just had to move from the downstairs into the main auditorium because it's outgrown the cafe bar. There's something stirring in our young people. This year, over 40 people welcomed in the new year by gathering and worship Jesus together. And as a community, as a a team, they continue to write and sing songs to God, which are being recorded and released. And people from different churches and vineyards, they come, they walk in, and they say there's something special about the way that we worship. There's a hunger, there's an expectation, there's an intimacy, there's a passion. We are a people who shamelessly worship our God and make no apology for it. Fourthly, we're to be courageously compassionate. God's heart is for the last and the least and the last, right? And so we meet the needs, whatever it takes. The needs in our city, in our nation, are enormous and they're growing. We've been called as God's people to be the hands and feet of Jesus. In Galatians 2, we read that Paul saying, whatever you do, remember the poor. Like, don't forget the poor. Scripture makes it clear that courageous compassion for us is not an optional extra. It's not something on top. It's central to the gospel message. And as you might imagine, the stories that are coming out of our Restore ministry are endless. Every week, people like you are giving their time, their money, their energy to love and serve the needs that are around us. In our food co-op, we're helping provide affordable food for over 35 families a week. It's 35 families who wouldn't have food otherwise. Over the last 7 years, Blend has seen the community build and friendships strengthened. What Jackie Peach has done over there is simply incredible. Our Tea Out of a House is now working in partnership with The Message and with prison chaplains to provide a safe and stable home for those leaving prison. Last year, Grow Baby, we've got two sites, one at the gate and one in Fairwater, provided 350 families with 500 packages to help meet the needs of children under five. 350 families. And every month you give bags like this, or bags for life, to the Dusty Forge Food Pantry. The first year we collected Easter eggs, I think this was 3 years ago, they stretched the length of our dining table and they were like, it built up like a wall and we kind of like stacked them because it was lockdown, we were bored. And there were so many. And so we were talking like, what would it be this year to take the most Easter eggs for children we've ever taken? Like kids who don't have anything in their cupboards, if we could spoil them this Christmas, like what would that look like? So maybe when you bring some cans, some tins, some packets of food, would you bring some Easter eggs? Which brings us perfectly to our last but no means least value, that we are outrageously generous. We want to be a people that are defined by our generosity, both to each other and to the city and beyond. You see, generosity isn't supposed to be a burden. It comes from an overflow of our hearts. Hearts that know the grace and the love of Jesus. And as I've just mentioned, this is a generous church. We are a generous people. There's stories around our site of things being given, food and bikes and clothes and nappies and time and money, often at personal inconvenience. I heard of a person who turned up to one of our West small groups and needed a laptop, and then they were given a laptop by a person in that small group. The whole point is that we want to be a generous people so that we can be a generous church. But we also have to stop and remember that it starts with a generous God. And like a good father who loves to give us good gifts, this year has seen God give us some wonderful gifts. We're actually sat in one now, this beautiful venue. We've moved from the stadium into here. We've been in here, I don't know, 4 months now, 5 months. And it's beautiful, and it's in such a fantastic location. And then as a church, we've been given another church building in Blackwood, a building up in the valleys to continue the kingdom work that has been happening there for years already, and James will share more about that. And in response to God's generosity, we are already a generous people. In 2023, the giving increased by 11%. So a huge thank you to all of you who give. But there's so much more that we want to do. And James is going to touch on this next week, but as we read at the start, we want to stretch our tent curtains wide. We want to be able to welcome more people, reach more people, bless more people, baptize more people. You may have noticed it's our birthday. So we're four, which is incredible, isn't it? And what a 4 years it has been. Let me just recap for you. So day one, our first service, we had one service and then we went into lockdown. Then we went online And the least said about that, the better. But you guys continue to show up. It was fine. It was good. It worked. But you guys continue to feed the poor. You met online. You met. You did small groups online. We did newcomers events online. We did leaders training online. Did Sundays on Zoom. We celebrated our second birthday on Zoom with 74 of you, including kids, babies, and possibly pets. We sent out balloons and party invites, like we like to have fun. And you hung balloons in the background and you joined us for a celebration service. Our third birthday, we'd begun to rebuild and we found a temporary home in the stadium and we began to rebuild our rhythms, recognizing that so much had changed and so many of us had been through so much. And here we are now in 2024, year four, meeting weekly in a new venue. And all of you, lovely people. And we said in September 2023, we said that we felt our next step as a site would be to increase what we do. Let me tell you what we said. We said we want to build the Sunday gatherings. We want to host well by starting to do refreshments. We want to multiply our kids' groups from one group to two. We would like to move towards meeting weekly in the future. We'd like to keep consistent dates. We'd like to sustain and grow a rhythm of meeting as a site. We want to root ourselves in worship, teaching of the Bible, welcoming people, providing space for the Holy Spirit, and fostering community as we continue to grow. And as we prepared for this week, we went through that list and we spoke about each of those and we were like, together, all of us, we've either done every single one of those or one of those is now a regular part of this site and we're living out that rhythm. And we tell you this not to pat ourselves on the back, although all of you who have made this possible deserve a pat on the back, but because we needed a stable foundation to grow. You can't grow without a stable foundation. And we could not welcome all those who are yet to come without a foundation. So, these last 2 weeks, I've been digging a flower bed out in our back garden. And here's the vision, okay? The vision is there's a flower bed, and it's an extension of our patio, and I would like to pave it and put my barbecue there. But not my current barbecue, I want to get a new barbecue, okay? So this is my like vision for summer of like standing behind there with lots of friends around enjoying myself. And so I was like, I'm going to start to dig out this flower bed. And I was expecting 2 days to like level it out, chuck a bit of concrete on there, put some slabs on it, be fine. I've done my 2 days. It looks pretty much the same, but I am quite sore. I'm pretty halfway through levelling it out, and I've dug a lot of soil. I even found a water feature that was buried underneath there. So I texted my brother, who is far more practical than me, and I said, what do you think I need to do next? And he sent me links to builders merchants that I've only heard of, and some that I haven't heard of, and I instantly became very overwhelmed. He was like, dig down further. And then he told me about different sorts of compounds that you put down first. I was like, okay. Then he was like, you compact it all. And then you hire a cement mixer. And I was like, oof, gosh. Never even touched a cement mixer. Then you lay and level the cement. Then you lay the new tiles. And you do level after level of good foundations for... And then you get to do the fun bit. Then you get to put the barbecue on top. I was like... So I spoke to my father-in-law. Anyway, but it matters to do these things well, doesn't it? To do it properly so that when I lay the patio, when I put the barbecue on top, when I do the fun stuff, it's level, it won't sink, it won't shift. I know I can trust it. A good foundation needs preparation. And we've had to prepare. We've had to shift during the pandemic and then rebuild the foundation so that we can grow again. And we are a growing site. And if you're new to this church, or perhaps it's your first week with us, you're so welcome. We were all new once. And because of what Jesus is doing amongst us, we are continuing to grow. This site started out just the two of us with our two kids. And we committed to say yes to Jesus, to start a site. And now look at you all. But also we're seeing the beginning of an increase in people who don't know Jesus. They're either visiting us here or they're encountering people from church. And if that's you, you're really welcome. If you don't know Jesus, that's great. You're really welcome here. So what does that mean for us and what we do and how we continue to grow? Do you know the analogy of buckets? Okay, we all have two buckets in life. Not necessarily, I mean, I do, they're filled with soil, but we all have two buckets. We have a bucket of water and a bucket of petrol. And when we come across a fire, we need to decide which bucket we are going to use. And it's really important to get it right. And sometimes fires need to be put out straight away. And that's when you need the bucket of water. But other fires, sparks, need to be encouraged. And that's what the petrol's for. And we're in a season of throwing buckets of petrol over fires to help things grow when we sense a spark of the Spirit moving on something. So let me give you some examples. Stewie and Liz approached us. Many of you know them. They've been part of this site the entire 4 years. And they said, can we gather people once a month after church in the pub across the road? It will increase friendships, community, it'll be fun. And we said, well, who's it for? Like what's the purpose? Who's it for? And they went, anyone, for any age, families, couples, singles, widows, widowers, new people. It's for everyone. And we were like, here's a bucket of petrol. Go for it. Let it grow. On prayer and worship, a number of people have been sensing a deepening urgency to gather for prayer and worship, not just the regular Tuesday mornings. But they said, well, how about a Saturday morning? This was Bruce and Lynn. They said, how about we gather on a Saturday morning for prayer and worship and longer time together? Like, here's a bucket of petrol. Let it grow. So 20-plus people gathered on a Saturday morning for prayer and worship. And when Anna came back to me, she said, I've got no words to describe how beautiful it was. And then outside this building, a number of children play football every week in the same grounds. And parents began to walk in 3 weeks ago looking for toilets or looking for the car registration machine. And in the first week this happened, the welcome team and the refreshments team, they put on more coffee and they stayed out there to chat with them. And people who had walked in, they stayed for worship. They listened to some of the talk. They connected with many of you. The first week there were like 20-something households, which gave us about 40 to 50 people that we served and had conversations with. The second week about 20. The third week, I have no idea. And some people might say in various like spheres, the refreshments are for people coming to church, Mark. And they might kind of close it down. And we, along with you, we looked at it and what we saw was God sending us people to build relationships, to tell people about Jesus. And we're like, maybe they'll watch service, maybe they'll sit, maybe they will ask for prayer, maybe they will ask questions and one day accept Jesus. So we poured a bucket of petrol on it. We doubled the refreshments. We pulled in more team, more supplies, expecting and welcoming them. And let's just see. Let's just see what happens. We were chatting to Gar, and he said, can I gather people and do Jesus at the door, which is where you head out onto the streets, and there's a tool that you use just to explain Jesus, what he did on the cross, what it means for you, and then an invitation. It's super simple as a tool. And he'd been knocking on doors just around here. The first door he knocked on near here, they said, actually, we are looking for a church. You see, when we say yes to the invitation from Jesus to step out and to go, we never know what will happen. So we're pouring some petrol on it. Let's go and tell people about Jesus. Last week in a small group, 10 days ago, Sarah, who leads the small group with us, she shared a story. And she was in a gym and she was chatting with an old friend she'd not seen for ages. This person had like shouted across this crowded gym, Sarah, Sarah. And they went across and was asking some questions about her and her life. And in that moment, she as a person could have poured petrol or water onto that conversation. She chose petrol and she shared her faith and she ended up praying for her friend in the gym. This is just from the start of this year alone. Okay, 9-10 weeks, where God is moving and we're responding as a site. We're in a season of pouring petrol on things. More people are leading, more things are growing, there's more ways to get involved. It's an exciting time. We're excited. When you see people here taking steps towards following Jesus or praying for friends or being generous, offer as much encouragement as you can, would you? Support all you can. Let's all throw as much petrol as we can onto the flames of what God is stirring, so that everyone is cheered on and encouraged. We're holding our next baptisms on Sunday the 30th of June at Barry Island to baptise as many people as we want. Thank you. There's no party poppers yet, but a little drum roll. If you've not been baptised, we would love to baptise you. Come and chat to us. It's a petrol moment. We're expectant and we sense it's a new season, so turning of the tide. So what does that mean for us? We're going to continue to pour petrol on whatever we see the Lord is on. We want to warmly welcome anyone who comes through our doors, whether they're here for church or not. Not everyone who encounters Jesus is planning on it. We want to grow and strengthen this community. We're not just a Sunday gathering. We never have been. The Sunday gathering is the high point, the celebration of family coming together, like the traditional Sunday roast dinner, right? Everyone comes together for something special. What else? We want to grow in evangelism. We want to grow in organized evangelism and the unplanned evangelism by being trained and confident in the gospel. We also want to grow and strengthen our midweek options, prayer, compassion, connection. There's 168 hours in a week, and we want to use them well and give God a good return on his investment to us. We want to be five talent people, right? And we want to invest in our youth and children. They are the future of the church, the future business leaders, the future church planters, the future nurses, teachers, retail workers, the future worship leaders, the small group leaders, church leaders, farmers, peace advocates, or whatever God is calling them to. We want to set them on a course with a strong faith that stays with them for the rest of their life, so they can continue to build on the foundations we're laying here in the West. And that they would then know how to do the same for their children, and then their children, and their children, and their children, and future generations in the west of Cardiff, the Vale, south of Wales, and the nation of Wales. I wonder what West will look like in 100 years' time. We also value his presence. We've got some verses that are printed out and hung on our wall at home, and God gave them to us when he told us to move to Cardiff. And he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, don't send us from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord says to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. Two things. If your spirit doesn't go with us, show us your glory. Those two things. We want to be marked by his presence and know what it is to know his glory. Let me finish by talking about Mother's Day. And Mother's Day is special in the Vineyard, okay? And I'm going to tell you why. There's a couple called John and Carol Wimber. And for those of you who don't know, they pioneered the Vineyard. They led it into becoming a global movement. They invested themselves heavily into the church around the world. And without their sacrifice and leadership, we might not be here, here as a church. From their church in California, they planted a church in Southwest London called the Southwest London Vineyard. From Southwest London Vineyard, they planted Trent Vineyard in Nottingham. From Trent Vineyard in Nottingham, they planted a church called Vineyard Church Cardiff, of which we are part of. And that's our family tree. It goes back to a place called Anaheim in California, and John and Carol Wimber. And a few years ago, I was fortunate enough to sit with Carol in her home in Yorba Linda and listen to the stories of the early vineyard. She's written a book years ago called The Way It Was. Please read it. If you want to know what the early vineyard was like and what formed who we are now, that is one of the great books. With that in mind, this is what she says in her book and in conversation. In late 1976, a small group of believers began to meet together in a home to seek the Lord. None of them realized their true state of spiritual health. They knew they were weak and tired, but they had no idea how weak. And some of those who gathered had been trying for years to serve the Lord. There were some others who were excited about the new faith, but weren't really going anywhere. God in his mercy opened their eyes so they could see who they really were.
it was a painful experience for them to realize how spiritually desperate they'd become. When they gathered, their only goal was to seek the Lord. And as they worshipped, they sensed the presence of the Lord and felt a renewal of spiritual strength. This group grew from 12 people to 50 in just a few weeks. People were coming back to the Lord who had been wandering spiritually for years, and eventually over 125 people were meeting in a small group. That's a big house, isn't it? It's a small. On Mother's Day, 1977, 150 people gathered in a gymnasium for the first time as the Calvary Chapel of Yorbalinda. The late John Wimber began to teach on the subject of giving the church back to God, and he asked things like, when does God get what he wants out of the church? Still a good question. And Carol said, what a happy time it was. We had coffee and donuts and worshipped for an hour with the little kids running around dancing and playing. I think she would have liked this service. John challenged this new church to apply the scriptures to their lives as both hearers and doers of the word. He constantly taught on the kingdom of God and how Jesus not only taught about the kingdom of God, but also demonstrated the workings of the kingdom of God. 3 years later, on Mother's Day, 1980, a young Jesus People evangelist named Lonnie Frisbee, if you've seen the film, it's called Jesus Revolution, watch the film. A young Jesus People evangelist named Lonnie Frisbee came to speak on a Sunday evening, and at the end of his talk he said, for years now, the Holy Spirit has been grieved by the church, but he's getting over it. Come, Holy Spirit. And Carol said, you couldn't hear anything but the roar of the crowd as hundreds were filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time and were shouting out loud in tongues. The chairs were falling over and the people were falling on top of the fallen chairs. John was paralyzed, caught in mid-motion as he reached for the mic, and I couldn't tell if that look on his face was profound wonder or sheer terror. The others and myself, this is her talking, started wading through the fallen bodies, assessing the situation. And I met John somewhere in the pile, and I told him I thought it was the Lord. She said, after all, hadn't we been praying for power for ministry? This John was it. He gazed at me with a sort of stunned, far away expression. Now, bear in mind, this wasn't common. Most of what we know in today's church and the ministry of the Spirit, we know because of times like this. This was before the Toronto blessing. This was before Wimber came back to the UK, before New Wine, before the birth of Alpha, and hundreds of other ripples. We take for granted a lot of what these people knew little of. So Carol goes on. She said John didn't sleep that night. He stayed up with his books on church history and revivals and studied and prayed. About 5 a.m, a man called Tommy Stipe called from Denver. He said, I don't know what's going on there, John, but the Lord woke me up and told me to call you and tell you that it's him. Does that make sense? So John came downstairs, went to work, and there was a contingency of very unhappy staff members waiting for him. And Carol says, I'll never forget what he said. I understand how you feel. What happened last night may result in people leaving. But there's something you need to understand about me if we are to continue to work together. If ever there is a choice between the smart thing to do and the move of the Holy Spirit, I will always land on the Spirit. You need to know that. And it was a defining moment in the vineyard. She goes on and says, our church was somewhat altered by the outpouring of the Spirit. And as I said, we never again saw many of the people that stormed out that night, but a revival broke out among the young people and they took it to the campuses in the area and Bible studies started popping up all over the place. What happened in the ensuing months was a major outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the congregation of 700 people, which rapidly grew to over 2,000-3,000 and rippled around the world and helped birth a major renewal of the church around the world. And then, on Mother's Day, 1982, the Anaheim Vineyard Christian Fellowship was born. And from that moment, all the rest of the Vineyard churches were birthed. We sang a new song earlier. We have heard of all the stories of how you healed the deaf and blind. You did miracles and wonders. Would you repeat them in our time? We prayed our prayers. We've made our plans. But if you're not in it, we don't want it. You could say, don't send us from here unless your presence goes with us. If you're not in it, we don't want it. And that's our prayer. We don't want to get in the way of God. On this Mother's Day, as we look back at what he's done and as we peer forward, we say, Lord, would you do it again? Would you do it again in our time? So it was Mother's Day 1977, Mother's Day 1980, Mother's Day 1982, Mother's Day 2024. God, would you do it again? So what's the part of each of us to play? Seek his face. Seek his face and say yes to him. Be faithful to what he is asking of us, and let's welcome his fire. Let's be expectant of what is to come. The Lord is on the move, and we want to only work where we see him moving. And that's our encouragement to each of you. Let's always be on the look for where the Lord is moving. Let's each of us be faithful and willing to play our part in what he is doing in every sphere of our lives. Let's be hungry. Let's be a hungry sight. Hungry for his presence. Hungry for more. Hungry for salvation. Hungry for baptisms. Hungry for the kingdom to come here in Wales. I would like to finish by standing together. And why don't you stand? And we're going to say the Caleb Prayer for Wales. And when we say this, I want this to be a commitment, a cry, a stand together as we look to the future, something to imprint on our hearts and declare with our voices, a prayer to end the service and one to bang on the door of heaven with, together as a sight. Why don't we pray together? O high King of heaven, have mercy on our land. Revive your church. Send the Holy Spirit for the sake of the lost, the least, and the broken. May your kingdom come to our nation. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And so if you're here for the first time, that's the sort of church that we are. But if you also came and you wanted prayer today, please don't leave without getting it. But this probably is the best ending that you're going to get. Because it's our birthday, we're serving birthday cake outside. We've got special birthday cake. Again, it's a party popper moment. So if you've got kids in the kids group, why don't you go and check them out? Bring them back for cake. Don't forget your flowers. Have a great week. Part 2 of Vision next week. Happy birthday, guys.